to the region. Good morning to the parliamentary officials, led by the DG of the department, parliamentary officials, and all the members of the media present. Let me take this opportunity to welcome everybody to the meeting of this briefing session. I'll request that you take just a minute of silence of the decision and prayer. The purpose of our coming together today as a teacher is for the department to prepare on the strategic plan as well as the PP. But before we do that, maybe it should be proper for us to actually welcome particularly members to our meeting. We don't always enjoy the privilege of having the minister in our midst because our committee sits on a Wednesday, which coincides with cabinet. We are unfortunate in this regard, but we are very grateful to the deputy minister because he has always been with us all the time the department is to appear for the committee. We do appreciate it. Maybe because we are meeting with the minister that much, it will be proper for us to introduce ourselves one by ten. I am Lynette Zwane, the chairperson of education and recreation, meaning I'm also responsible for sports and recreation. I will allow the members starting with the tweet of the committee to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Sorry, get up and make one phone. I'm a member of the committee and I'm also the committee of committee. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Hanson. I'm a member of the Select Committee. I'm representing the Northern Cape Agency. Thank you very much.
My name is Anandan Nkreni. I'm from Botswana.
Good morning, I'm Herman Grunewald, representing the Northwest Province and member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Neil Dumas for the House. And my name is Wanda as a subcourse of us.
Minister, maybe before we start the engagement, let me just give an outline of our purpose for the meeting. Firstly, there are instruments that will always guide the preparation of the MGSF as well as the APT. Some of those instruments are the NTP, it will be the laws, the bills, the regulations that govern the department, it could be SONA, and there are other instruments that your department needs to use to ensure that they are used as a guide in preparation of the presentation that you shall be engaging on. I'm aware of the fact that there are bills that you seek review. Maybe you could also give us an idea of the progress that has been made in that regard, and also brief the committee on various other issues. I know the budget of the department is always a concern, both to you and the committee. We are always very much concerned about the fact that the budget that is given to your department is always very, very small compared to the mandate that you are carrying of actually covering the entire country with regard to sports and recreation. So I will hand over then to you to give us a briefing the teaching will elaborate on the issue of the target, whether they align with the MKSF, and also whether your budget is such that it is going to be able to help you with the target that you have drawn for the step. At this point, let me take hand over to the minister to give us this open communication. Let me go back to the issue. I omitted the apologies. Maybe you should come out when you see the apologies. Secretary, do you have any apologies?
The apologies from the colorful chapters of the social service. I mean, that's where the apologies are.
Other apologies?
Robert, I'm also a triple book. I'll have to go to another.
And the question goes back to the department, why is it that we've got only the DG literal students attending the briefing?
Thank you, sir. Members of the committee will be fully aware that the Treasury has issued guidelines as well as new directives towards cost containment and cost saving measures. We actually allow the maximum of 30 people to have to Parliament at a time. And with that, we have gone even beyond that, ourselves as the department, to make sure that we only allow official government necessary to travel to Ghana. In this case, I can guarantee the community that the work of the department and what we need to present in all its entirety would not suffer. The ultimate issues and in terms of the law, the accounting officer of the department takes full responsibility for all areas of that department, whether be finances or whether be strategic planning, whether be the core business of the department, and in our case, most participation in the major aspects. Even with the other commission of the National Assembly, the portfolio committee, often they're not from the DG that is represented and that represents the department. I make sure that all officials of the department brief me in full and that I'm kept abreast of all the development in the department so that whatever the committee raises, we would be in a position to respond to adequately. And we will not hamper the work of the committee by indicating that we still need to refer back to the department or otherwise. Any issue that is related later, we can guarantee that we would provide appropriate responses and adequate responses to such engagements.
Thank you very much, ICG. The issue is about containing costs, and you can't complain about it because it's doing exactly what is expected of the department. Let me then hand over to the
financial officer. We made it, you know, to the budget. understand that you want to learn and also for that matter, this money and so it can be an offer. Then do it to no man, not in the whole bus of Rama, the money. My students is not going to be in the whole class of this. This is a good program for that. They will ask me to come to the house. Can be lost, lose some practice of this. All the time is here.
No, I think that all the other officials of the department, the DDG, CFO, are still accountable to the DDG. We shall be also the enough pressing from the CFO, but I want to believe that they are secure.
Roger, I would suggest that we move on. When I did a posting went to the DG, who did not reflect, to be able to clear it on the working side. But that is what we need, actually. We need to be there, we need to be there.
Let me
get
over to you,
what I'm going to
give us the opening. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. First, thank this opportunity to be here today. Appeared before the select committee in the testimonies by the Director General. It is important for us because we want to be here all the time, but our schedule does not allow. And today we present equally our budget vote at 5 o'clock, and we have a media briefing as part of the requirement at 11 o'clock. And then 5 will present the budget. And this morning we started with the cabinet committee. So this coincides. So sometimes difficult to absent yourself from the executive. And that's, so this sounds like we don't take the select committee seriously. If there's a way to find a space for us to participate in the future, that should be considered, because I fight with my team all the time how do we share ourselves. I mean, the minister sits in cabinet on Wednesdays, and the reason why the deputy has been here is because I delegate him to come. So it's not like I'm not there. Thank you, Chair. And secondly, I just want to say briefly that we tabled this APP and the smart plan in the context of a good governance environment at the level of the Department of Sports. Government set itself target of achieving Operation Clean Audit, whatever that it means, the new invented concept in the context of pushing the boundaries. But nonetheless, if you are an accountant, you will understand that you are either qualified or unqualified. But this clean audit, it is said, it is clean audit without methods of emphasis. And this department have achieved that of sports. I've got a certificate and a trophy from the auditor general in health. So this is the department you are about to receive its APP. Sports always grapple with the question of funding because of competing priorities. We don't get the required funding. As much as sports is very big in terms of its impact in society broadly speaking, in terms of social fabric, social cohesion, patriotism, it rekindles society's, you know, energy on this particular question. Even at times when we're forgotten about what we need to do, what connect us spiritually and revive our RGP of the soul, sports in particular, and recreation. So we'd love to have a big budget. And we're not saying that we're not doing anything. We're looking at the funding model for sports. That's why we raise issues of the ticket levy, which is a global phenomenon and a global, you know, thing that is done by advanced countries where people it doesn't mean we have to pay more. It means in terms of what we pay, we will actually get a portion of that for sports development. So it must not be because that Islam means extra tax to those who are going to the games. If you pay 20 rand, out of that 20 rand, part of it will be allocated. Tourism has got that, in terms of tourism levy and so on. So we're looking at those potential facts. But equally, within government, we're looking at, among others, to deliver infrastructure for sport at the highest speed, like never been seen before, by looking at consolidating the MIG grant to be in a position to deliver infrastructure and sports facilities across the land and breadth of South Africa. When citizens ask Minister of Sport about facilities, it's as though we do have a budget. We don't have a budget. That budget was redirected to the municipalities. And what happens is that because of the challenges we have in the municipality, that money and funds are not used for their intended purposes. They are used to fix boreholes when people protest. People protest and demand the services but destroy services. So that money is used for that. So eventually we don't get the benefit of this. So we are moving to say in our engagement with Brazil that can these resources be allocated? We've done our budget analysis and consolidation. It's 2 billion rand per annum. We've been able to know that we deliver. People come to us with expectations that we can fix a stadium. Our budget can't even fix all these stadiums. It must be fixed by the municipalities. Mayor write to me to ask them to help them with facilities. They are sitting on that money, but they write to me to get the money from the department to basically assist in this. And it's a very important issue that we ourselves are not managing, but we're working on it at an interministerial level between ourselves and COFTA to find a solution to this problem, for this particular matter. But overall, we're also equally advocating for more budget allocation, to couple the fiscal, but to get more money to be able to meet the what is required out of the National Development Plan. If you look at our budget now, we are implementing a budget in the framework of the NDP, and part of what we have to address also equally what we have set ourselves in the NDP and the National Sports Plan, even though limited. We seek to address the question of transformation and development because the two are interconnected. To have development means school sports, facilities, training of coaches, club development, community sports, and all of that. It's very important that it are related, but equally, policy imperatives and intervention. We have made a lot of progress with regards to transformation. We have established an eminent presence group arising from the National Sports in Durban. And that eminent persons group has produced the first result of the P5, but getting now into the other federations. In the next coming week, we're giving the results and signing an agreement already on the question of transformation. And in terms of cricket, rugby, and so on, the target, what did they set for themselves? You will remember we talked at the Minister's Council about the 60-40. And as our proposal, but that was not cut in stone. It meant that we needed to engage with the federations in the context of transformation about what we want to achieve. What are the federation committees themselves? So football, cricket, rugby, netball, athletics are coming back to us. They are ready. It's just a question of days. And from there, you will know that they were put here in how we are going to implement transformation. That should you not be in a position to implement what you have committed yourselves to, there will be consequences for that. So you will not see the results of immediate in our national teams as an expectation, including the fallacy and the fabrication that we interviewed with the cricket national team selection. I would love to intervene with that cricket selection, but you know the boundaries don't allow us. And the racists and those who are anti-transformation, the right wing, given in the media, went on to say that I selected Vernon Philander. I would have loved to select him right from the beginning to the end if I had those powers, but I did not do that.
But you must understand that they do that to preempt. It's called a preemptive strike in military terms. But to preempt me and to basically maybe not to move, we are moving at 120, and then we are past that speed, we are going to 200 now. In the next coming weeks, you will see fireworks and the good work that has been done by the federations to comply with transformation. Transformation is non-negotiable. We don't talk about quotas out of context, we talk about targets. You know, every forum, I've met those people, all of them. I've met with Solidarity, I've met all of them. What they are putting on the table is rigidity and the selfless protection of minority rights, which is put out of context of the conceptualization of nation building and what we seek to achieve in terms of nation building. I met them at the headquarters of sport in South Africa. I don't speak in the streets. I meet a man, if it's a man, a woman, I meet, if it's a woman, face to face. I don't speak in the streets. I met them. I told them, they said they're going to take me to Hague. I said, I'm prepared to appear in Hague. I mean, for transformation, let it be. We agree to disagree. But the fact of the matter, they said to me, why can't we be like Australia? I said, Australia never fought the liberation. We fought the liberation. We are a unique country, and that is why we call ourselves a colonialism of a special time. We coexist as a nation, and we are right where we are, irrespective of our differences and our diversity. That is what strengthens us going forward. We move from a primary that our own development was not even. It was unequal. We need to level the playing field going forward. And that is not negotiable. And this is what we've got to do. It's not a racist attitude. It is about addressing the question of leveling the playing field to address equity and to address access. The fact that in the township where you grow up is not the same as in, you know, the settlers. That is the fundamental question. The schools that we build do not fit to our developmental goals with regard to sports. We even fight with our colleagues, you build schools, but where are the soccer fields? And this is what we're basically addressing. As much as we build new communities in the context of new human settlement, those human settlements can't be complete without. And equal access means sport must be played everywhere. It shouldn't be that 40 schools in the Republic of South Africa produce the Springboks. It must be every community can produce the Springboks. Every community can produce the Springboks because in every community, not everybody plays rugby. Advanced rugby in terms of what you want to achieve, you find it in the schools that are 40 or 20 in the Republic, which are acting as academy feet for rugby and cricket in the Republic. That's why the older boys, even black and white, they can speak advanced English, because they come from, you know, historically disadvantaged schools, except their former Shamaite, who come from that university, which is very much important too. Transformation to add to development and in terms of what we want to achieve. And school sport is important, Jefferson. Class development, community sport, good governance in the federation is linked to the whole notion of the new funding model that the GGL, I probably believe that in the past year spoke about in terms of allocation to the federation. My participation has not been abandoned and it's linked to recreation. The deputy minister has been allocated to deal with the question of recreation because we emphasize sports but we don't speak to recreation. And this is what we basically want to address going forward. Among other issues of the Hall of Fame for South Africa, we very people, we are a nation without a history and preservation of history in sports. And I met with Safa the other day, I said to Teddy Rodan, the new mayor of Port Elizabeth, congratulations. That does not mean that he must basically abandon the position of SAFA. He will remain SAFA. Anyway, the president of SAFA, you remain, it's not a full-time job. He's always just been full-time because he is, but it's not a full-time. There are many mayors at SAFA and councillors who have been the executive. So I met with them. I said, when a child who practices and plays football wants to learn football history, where should they go? FNB is empty. There's nothing there about our history. I spoke to one of the legends of football. He said, we never know about Kalamazoo Mokoni, that he was referred to as the Maserati of football. football. If Pele was the Rolls Royce, then Kalamazoo Mukoni is the Rolls Royce of football. 1955, not today. That's when we captured the world. Apartheid made us to believe that we started playing football after 1994. We've been the greatest in the world long before we defeated apartheid. And when young people want to learn about that, you need to have museum. Like right, they've got museum here in Waterfront. You can go there and learn about black rugby and learn about rugby in a democratic South Africa. It's there in that history. Yeah, we opened that museum. Football doesn't have that. Yet it's the number one sport. When kids want to know, when they get into the FNG stadium, because they think the history of that stadium started in 2010. That stadium was built by black people for themselves, and they could not complete it with their own money without government. That precinct where FNP is at is called the National Sport and Recreation Precinct. It was not completed. It's called Nazareth. Now, that's where all facilities and in terms of the National Sports House in South Africa was supposed to be. Those plans were not completed. And FNP must then be the repository of history and the museum and all of it. Everything when we bury people, hey, we have to answer the question, the history of this person. What was it doing? We need to have these people inducted in the Hall of Fame. But that is broad. All Australia in South Africa was a money-making machine. The owners bought that, everybody. They wanted to make lots of money for themselves. How can you make money out of Hall of Fame? Because that should be a building. And individuals where we put their names and honor them, and for generations to come. But even in football, worst of all, it must have a Hall of Fame. If you look at the history of this country and football, you must have that. The same as the rugby has got it. They've got a big museum here where you can go anytime and learn about the history of rugby. When kids want to run essays, want to run tests and doctors about the history of rugby, they can go to Waterfront, sit there nicely, watch the sea, and write a nice thesis and research about the history of rugby here in South Africa. And this is what we want to do. So I think we are a nation at work, and at the same time, we want to achieve as many things we want to, but we don't want to change everything. That is why to us, school sport is at the heart of everything. We invest in it, we work on it. We are not even at the point where we want to be, because all schools must play. We were delayed by our cooperation with the Department of Basic Education. We are working very nicely together, but it has not translated to the ground. The nonsense standards have long affected the fact that the physical education must be incorporated as one of the key subjects in the school curriculum, but it's not been implemented as much as it has always been there. But now we hope and believe that this will actually happen basically going forward. We've got the National Training Center in Bloemfontein, where our athletes will actually be selected, and the best will find space there, including those preparing for Rio, national athletes who benefit from OPES programs going forward. We've introduced the Ministry of Sports Bursary out of the program of school sports for those kids. Who will be transferred to focus schools, sport focus schools in the Republic of South Africa. Honourable members, I think the DG will deal with the detail of the APP and the strat plan going forward. I think, among others, the question that was asked by the honourable member there about the CFO, we've had changes in our department now. Our CFO has been stolen by another department, because we produce audits that are clean. Everybody wants our people. So our staff is going for clear pastures. Everybody wants general matters everywhere. Most of our staff members have been coached left and right. So our CFO has gone to arts and culture to bring some order there. But we are going to have the results in terms of the new CFO. And I think that the DG Maraisma You are right that the DG must not come here with his target. He must come with the CFO so that there must be proper accountability. Don't be afraid to answer that question. So next time, I think, will come. But he's a capable young man whom I've got trust, and he has earned my trust through his deeds, not because I made him a favor to employ him as a DG. He comes from Limpopo. In Limpopo people are doing very well. Sports, starting with Dave Stay, AB de Villiers, Nepo Mashamaite, Eric Matou, Caster Semenya, you can mention. That is wrong province. If I was a premier, they have organized dinner every night and made the province shine, because you've got ambassadors that come from a poor province and who have made it in the top league in the Republic of South Africa. That's the best province. If you think of Mulaudi, down in Zambia, where we went to bury him. And this is the biggest province that I think Alec Muyeni actually come from, our director general. But thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity with the Deputy Minister to present the APP and the START plan to the Select Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. I don't know if I heard you already. Did you say that you are leaving at 11?
Before 11.
Okay. I don't know, Minister, if you have a minute, maybe if members wanted to have their discussion. Honourable
Haula, Honourable Kunle. Just one question. You recall, Honourable Minister, I also did the research last year. When you came to the department, you had that open up after which you promised that you were going to make lots of sports by improvements. I just want to know how far has that developed, because so far it seems like there is no action. With the action.
Thank you, Chairperson. From my side, I want to congratulate the department for the clean audit report. I think that is in the right direction. Something that is really bothering me is why are you put your funds directly to municipalities and ask them to do the development? I can't see why we must do that. And I totally agree with what you said. That money is spent at the end of the day for other purposes and not for sport as such. So I think we must do something very urgently about that, so that we can create what we want to create in our community. And then he said also, let's not spend the money in our suburbs, let's spend money on our sport fields in our communities, because then there you see sport fields, but there's no grass, it's an open field, there's no pavilions and nothing. And that is not to the benefit of the people in the South community. So I think that we must put the money directly and where they are development in our gated suburbs. So let them look after themselves. I mean, the facilities are already there, and let's spend the money where it is, where we need it. And if there's people who ask for money in better suburbs, let me say, no, man, you look after yourself. And let's develop our poorer and disadvantaged communities at this stage. I feel very, very strong about that. I also are very positive about the transformation and development of our sport people in our disadvantaged communities, but because they are excellent people, and you said it by yourself in the paper. We have such a lot of people. Why can one province do it and the other provinces can't do it? So something is wrong in our structures to help these people in other provinces as well. So we must give attention in that regard. And then I'm a bit unhappy about your mention about Danny Jordan. We don't care about him. Let him do what he wants. That has nothing to do with sport. And as such, he has come. So that is a political issue. And let him go. If you want to do it, that is on him. But our committee has nothing to do with it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just to comment, or rather lay a concern to the Minister as a political head. Minister, your department deals mainly with the youth being the future of the country. And I think the youth are the cornerstone when we build the temples of Jerusalem. And I'm very concerned that your son is getting demise. And I want to know from you what can we as the NCOP do to help you, because I do not see you're bringing the social ills into perspective with your department. You're bringing the social cohesion into perspective with your department. And the future of the youth that you're dealing with are people who have to be disciplined and support his discipline. We cannot raise and get the future leaders who are not disciplined. I am very concerned with the fact that you had to go into an extent of minimizing yourself establishment is coming and loading over, because at the end of the day, whether the GP can tell the load, it will end up with abuse on his competence. It can even now, GP, but after some time of carrying whoever's load, and whoever's load is going to be abuse on your side in terms of overloading. We don't want to see you at some stage taking sick leave because of this, because it will impact negatively on minister. So I'm raising it to the concern, and I want to know what can we as the NCOP do to assist you to restructure and maybe get things in perspective. It might be seen as a small department, but for me it is the future and the discipline and addressing the transformation, the social ills, the cohesion that you bring in, raise me, and I want the political to take it after that. It brings the concern in the NCOP.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Just to add my few comments, because after this talk was very difficult, you to go for other state duties. Firstly, on behalf of the community, just to add my voice on to what other members have said regarding the thing audit. Without emphasis on the very difficult, we really do want to appreciate the good work DG with your team they are doing in actually ensuring that we get a green audit. However, Minister, we are worried about the taking CFO. But if you want to leave the department there at some stage, or you get a person that is equally good for your department, because we don't want you to lose the status of a green audit. Secondly, the issue of the 50% of the new community, I hope that through your talks with your other colleagues from HOPTA, you are going to arrive at a conclusion, because it really does disadvantage the department. Municipalities are not going to use this money for the purpose of Jesus Christ, for as long as they have people shouting for water, people shouting for feeding or for street lights, they are going to divert that funds to it. So what we say is to support you 100% on this one, because I mean it was vast rural areas where there is a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of the sports infrastructure. And also, you are on top of transformation. And as this is a committee, we do appreciate your effort, because we do want to see all the hopes transforming. We need to see equity. We need to see the department being able to widen the net for people to access opportunities in sports. With those, you have sent out a request that you respond to some of the questions, and you can draw to your concrete remarks before you. Thank you.
Yes. First, I think most of the points made are not questions, are reinforcing our statement in terms of what you have said. And we do appreciate that in a whole lot of areas that you have mentioned, maybe about infrastructure. I think also the MIG chair, what you talk about, and the funding model. And I think in the main, the question is about lots of funding. We have engaged with Lotto on this particular matter, but really for us, it requires engagement with the Minister of Trade and Industry, and not really with the people who direct what must be spent where and all that. So, because those boards are semi-independent somehow, we can only work on influencing them to look in a particular direction. And I think our model of Lotto is that we need to have a direct funding access to be able ourselves to direct what must happen
without really going through the barriers that we're going through now, application, small entities, all of that, supporting charities there and there, or sport, without the proper evaluation of whether those are aligned to our developmental objectives. There are many requests that are missed. This past weekend I was in Mtata. I was invited by a community, business people, you know, small, medium, macro, came together to support athletics. You know that Mtata is engulfed with a lot of criminal activities to engage young people in some form of activity. So I went there to support them. Talented young children and all of that. Some of them participate in national competitions in terms of running and so on. No funding for them at that particular level. Those are projects that I think Lotto must support. Rather than a boyfriend girlfriend arrangement, way in which a person will claim that I'm training kids for cricket and then go and buy a small kumbi. These kids, you never find them anyway, but they are being trained. They are good in accounting because their boyfriend and their girlfriend and go and get the next 2 million from the laws, 5 million, 10 million. The people who really need this money, in my view, of Lotto, are there in the rural area. And the properly supported, they will make use of it. They don't want sophisticated, complicated things, you know. You allocate money, ensure that there is proper support, governance, and accountability. They mean business, you know, they are running, they if they run projects of sports in the local areas, it's projects that you can really see and follow up on them. So the funding of Lotto for such projects will come in hand to support those committees. And it's not only there, I'm sure honorable members there in your own community, if you do have two people there who come to you and ask you for a soccer team, and so on, and they are running a project of a football academy, Lotto can support such projects, you know, and not just anything that you don't understand, but it's been supported anyway. So I think, you know, visible projects, tangible, that are really working on supporting initiatives of development of sports. I agree, Chair, with a whole lot of things that have been said. Funding model will continue to soldier on. We've made a proposal to Treasury, among others, to increase the budget, maybe the next financial year and so on, based on our own objectives. We've got the cabinet memo now that is circulating, looking at the question of the funding of the NSRP, National Sports Plan, because it's an unfunded mandate, to say government must commit. If we could commit 5 billion to building stadiums in 2010, why can't we commit 2 billion per annum to fund sports budget? Really. In England, when they were doing budget cuts 5 years ago, I started to be Minister of Sports. They then tampered with the school sports budget. Parents took to the streets to protest, to say that if you cut the budget of school sports, what do you want us to do with these children? We must build the drug laws, you know, drug addicts and all of that. You know, you can cut everything, but it's not the allocation for sports. And that is England. So I'm not saying you must protest, but I'm saying we need your voice as members of parliament for the support of a clear budget to support what we need to do. Not alone, of course. Our country is not like any because they are competing policies and which are competing. And as much as sport is critical, we can still do a lot between ourselves and the private sector and working together. And also with a whole lot of initiatives that we have that need to be supported to generate more resources for sport. Now they want to take money from us in terms of alcohol. Alcohol, people drink as much as they can. Nobody's going to stop them. Even if you stop at them, they're going to be drunk all the way. But at the end of the day, those companies will go without being, you know, committed to supporting social responsibility. Because what do they do? They support football, cricket, and all of that, huge sums of money. But now today, if you say you have advertisement, you say that they must continue to accumulate without giving back. I unless you ban alcohol, which would be a big revolution you've never seen. If you want people to overthrow us out of government, if you ban alcohol, we will be out of power before tomorrow night. So the means to control intake of alcohol really scientific. Over access, illegal use of alcohol, that can be controlled, but the revenue of companies of alcohol will not be affected. Cigarettes, which we are breathing nicely now, it was banned, and then they left with their money, we've got nothing. There's no normal cigarette support or sports, because advertisement and cigarettes is still banned. Yeah, but they are still making lots of money, loads and loads of money. But they don't commit, they make money now. The difficulty with it is that they don't commit towards social responsibility. Because we should have killed how people smoke, but allow advertisement to be there, so that we can be able to get the cigarette to support sports, and then tax them more to invest in social responsibility causes. Whatever you can do in the context of getting resources from this company. But now, cigarette is making money and generating profit, but society does not benefit from what kills society. And that is the major problem that you are facing currently. So, regulating with a balanced approach, generating profit and ensuring that we are able to invest in social causes, very much important, and in particular sport. But now let's take a check.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you for the input that you made and the clarity that you have given us regarding a variety of issues and raising very important issue. One among such issues is the issue of soccer, and that needs to be stored so that our generation we know where we come from and therefore where we're headed to. Issues relating to transformation and all such issues that are very important for the department and the community. Thank you. We can then review the court and continue with other things. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The political leadership to give before proceeding with the presentation.
We have two presentations to deliver. One is a summary of the strategic plan with the target of the annual performance plan. We have chosen to conduct the two together and not make a brief presentation, one on the strategic plan for 5 years and one on the annual performance plan for 30 years. What we have done is as you have slides, we show what the 5 year plan target part, and we then show the annual targets for the this current financial year by 2020. Then we will then follow that up with a presentation on the budget. The overview of the presentation is as you see there, we indicate the strategic process we followed to in arriving at the plan. And we reaffirm the vision and mission of the department and how they have acted on what we do in terms of NDP. And the legislative mandate that we draw support and inspiration from as well as the key policy mandate. Because as we show our intergovernmental relations now with various other departments and organs of state in our interagency and international affairs, the other key thing is to look at the medium term strategic framework, the intentions of government, and the targets that are set in there, and how they impact on the portfolio of sport and recreation. And we zoom into the sport and recreation sector, and we look at the strategic goals, as well as the targets that should be available in the five key programs of the partner. And we then do a summary of the core projects that we have changed in 2015, and an overview of the budget. And we then zoom into the budget and look at the key areas and the economic classification of the budget and the allocation to key specific programs. In this regard, you recall that in 2011, the minister held a strategic workshop in order to look at around the plan for sports in our country. Since that strategic workshop, we adopted a document entitled the Roadmap for Optimal Performance and Functional Excellence in Sport. And in that, we identified five key areas of work, and for the first time we positioned school sport at the center of everything we had to do. Following on this, we wanted a wider consultative process on this key document, and we held the nine provincial meeting in 2011, and by November 2011 we had convened the National Sport and Recreation Indaba, which then looked at this document and enriched it thoroughly to the extent that ultimately we adopted the National Sport and Recreation Plan. Now, you also remember that in 2012, we came back to this committee and the portfolio committee to table a new white paper, which was now aligned to the new Sport and Recreation Plan, and we tabled it as an official policy of the department in guiding our work around the repositioning the portfolio of sport and recreation. And we then followed up by 21st April on the 18th, we tabled before Cabinet, and by May, Cabinet had approved the National Sport and Recreation Plan. However, members may recall that when Cabinet approved this, it approved it without any funding, and they said that the plan is okay. The onus was now on the part of the department to come back to Cabinet and indicate the priority areas of the plan which would be implemented with the existing funding. And we were then also directed to work on the new funding model and to work with the treasury around new proposals in this regard. In terms of the sport and recreation plan, 2013 was the first year in which we needed to do an internal review of the implementation of the plan since the prioritization and the safety approach from 2012 to call. This was a review of the first year of the implementation of the sports plan, and we held the Minister of Strategic Research in Paris to review implementation. That review then indicated to us that of the 264 activities of the plan and the 18 key strategic objectives of the plan, we have managed to implement only the 23% with available funding of the sports plan. So that figure has now slightly increased to about 36%, but we are too far away from implementing 100% of the plan. And in order to do so, our budget will have to multiply tenfold. And our posting of the National Sport and Recreation Plan indicates that at current funding levels, it will take a company 37 years to implement the plan. So that is the reality of the matter. And if we are to implement the plan 100%, we need at least our funding to jump to 10.8 billion for at least the first 8 years, which then stabilizes to about 6 billion and stabilizes further by the 20th year to about 4.8 billion. And that will be the baseline of the department going forward. But the huge injection is to deal and to eradicate the shortage of facilities and the legacy of unevenness in this regard, and that is how we are calculating. However, if we follow that route, we will then stabilize in 20 years. And it will mean that from year 21, we have stabilized a budget of 4.3 billion, and we will then be able to deliver and focus on some having the right at the leader. So, elaborate this point. Currently, with the funding we have for can only effectively support 6,000 schools a year, but there are 24,000 schools, and in effect, only about 8,000 of the schools are participating in the National Schools Committee, and some of them just in one college. So you can imagine that on average, they have to participate in a few cycles. So I think we'll have a huge challenge of funding, and it can be done otherwise. We have, however, decided in the light of the prior indication to us that there wouldn't be any new money to us in the next three financial years. In effect, in the next three financial years, they are cutting back our budget by 1% every financial year. So it isn't a rosy picture at all. However, what we have decided to do is to look at the existing channels of funding. The lotto is one of those. We have also decided to optimize the budget better and to be much more prescriptive about issues and how it's supposed to be channeled. We have also begun the process of looking at new funding streams. The minister has spoken about some of them. The issue of teaching them to raise new revenue. Secondly, the consolidation of the existing MIG to be able to handle this plan. So this is what the retreat of the minister had captured and encapsulated as the key things, the key actions we need to undertake. Since then, we have been trying to do this. By July 2014, as you may be aware, we looked at prioritizing areas of school sports, like development, community sports, as well as strategic and transformation. Our important is that in community sports, for the first time, we had dedicated ourselves that the bulk of the resources in community sports must be get towards supporting rural sports. And since then, we have launched a new program, the Rural Sport Improvement Program, to which we work with the National House of Transitional Leadership, and we work with our policy to promote sport in the rural areas and to make them the custodians of the local and rural community, and to promote access for rural children. Again, in transformation, the minister has spoken about the welfare prospect in respect of the UPG, the Grand Persons Group on the Sport Transformation, which is an offshoot of the National Transformation Charter as an annexure to the National Student Recreation Plan. And in August, we then did the first draft of the 2015-2020 Strategic Plan and the 2015-2016 Annual Government Plan. And we then submitted this according to the principles of the law. And by November, the second draft was finalized, and in February this year, a performance review of the strategic plan was taken by our management committee as well as the risk assessment workshop. And we are then to believe that we are ready, having undergone all this extensive consultation process, that the documentation we are putting before you today remains valid. Our vision and mission has not changed. It's still an active and a lean mission. But I'm sure that the committee would be aware that for the bulk part of the first 18 years of democracy, our key focus has been on the winning nation. South Africa has to demand that our teams perform better at international level. Therefore, the bulk of our funding, almost 90% of our entire budget, was dedicated to the winning nation, which neglected largely an active nation. So we often internally say that recreation has been the first champion of the department, although we are scored in recreation, but we have not paid significant attention to recreation as a need. And we move from the primary back stage that not all children are talented sports. Some may be talented singers and dancers and all sorts of other things, but there would be research indicate that in any society, it's only between 3 to 10% of the population that is talented sports. In a population like ours of about 50 million people, fetching for that person is like fetching for a regular age. So the only way for you to know which ones are talented is if they are afforded the opportunity to participate. And mass participation then becomes the key critical thing. And providing opportunities for children just to play without an expectation that they will be something is the key to talent identification and to finding out which of those become the key to people in that field. And from that point of view, an active nation is an important thing for us. It also has tremendous benefits because once these children get to participate, you will then see that many of them become much more healthier. We have a healthy and a fit nation, and we need to promote that. Today's question of disease, as we have seen the last of the top three key in South Africa and the rate of mobility, and that you see that the lifestyle diseases, hypertension, obesity, high blood pressure, and all of those are all results of lifestyle factors and that eating habits, but more importantly, no physical activity. So, and that is the key thing that we need to address in Connective Nation, providing greater platform to participate. And from that point of view, our twin mandate of an active and a willing nation becomes key, and the education program is what is key for us. Many of you would know that we have only begun last year rolling out the recreation facilities such as children's play parks. I think that first children's play parks in the democratic era have only been done 2 years ago. So all along, both our municipalities and provinces have not been taking care of this year. Many sports facilities have been rolled out, but very, very few recreational facilities have been rolled out. And the dedication is now getting this. Legislative mandate, those are the key acts, you are familiar with them. Chair, we are in the process of amending some of this. We have asked the leader of government business and the table to the issues of the legislation that we want. Two of them have been on the run in the current term of the parliament. So we hope that only those two will be the one that will move, although we have already tabled a lot more. We seek to amend the National Sport and Recreation Act, and we are bringing three key amendments. One of them is to verify the powers of the minister. I think the important inquiry in respect of future has taught us great lessons, and we have then brought those lessons to see that we verify the role of the minister in appointment of committees of inquiry in regard of this. But most importantly, also his powers in respect of transformation. And we also want to clarify the issue of the colour spots and awarding of national colours to athletes, as well as the processes and regulations of the internet. Of importance also is our proposed amendments to the South African Institute for Athletic Sport Act. And here we seek to give this institute just one power. There's only one amendment we're wishing to. We are asking Parliament and the people of South Africa to agree that the institute should have power to test children in schools. This is because important research that has been done indicate that the incidence of doping among school children in South Africa is the third highest in the world. And that's not good, because if children start doping that age, we have a dilemma. And right now they are protected by a law that the parents must actually opt in. So the schools were now doping tests take place, it is because the school and learning bodies have voted to agree that the children can be done. So, but that's not the norm everywhere, and many of the schools don't take that position. And there is even where teachers themselves are involved in pressurizing kids in rugby, take steroids, and all sorts of things. And which is something that we should encourage. And from that point of view, our view is to then proceed in this regard and make sure that when a parent signs a form agreeing that the child shall play sport at school, that they know that by implication they are consenting to the child's development. We will not be able to test all children, but we will do random testing. And I think the good example is what the retired admiral of the South African Navy, when he was asked why South Africa needs to procure submarines, and he asked them that there are two rivers here, there's one with crocodiles and there's one without. Which one we want to cross in, and clearly there was kind of answers to cross where there are no crocodiles, but when they are there, you are likely not to cross because you know that it's possible that it may keep getting. So in the same manner, the issue of random testing works in the qualifications of the same person. We are seeking to repeal the boxing act in its entirety, and in its place to bring the combat sport bill. This is on the list of the new legislation we want to introduce, but which has not yet been put on the role of the Minister of Government Business. So the likelihood is that in this current time it will not come. But we have already drafted the draft bill in this regard, which must be go through the cabinet process and be finalized. The idea is to regulate not only boxing, but to regulate all combat sports. And I think that is our intention. The combat sport bill will seek to regulate the things like kickboxing, sports like karate, even illegal things like cage fighting. We need to outlaw those properly and to regulate them better, and also to regulate farm. So many of you may have heard and heard about the story in the Eastern Cape of where there was an Indonga traditional tournament, and an athlete died there because regulations are not very clear, and what we have codified and the rules to represent have no effect of law. We are encouraging communities to abide by them, and that they must wear headgear and all of that. Right now, it isn't legal. I'm not legally obliged to follow those prescriptions who have shut down because there is no principle and anything law to allow for such. And you may also know about our engagement with His Majesty Tony Tick, the King of the Southern people, because they have a rural tournament called Musango. It's a breathless fighting. And before our engagement with him, the rule is that you must not be able to stand up so that the opponent is declared the winner. So even when you are bleeding, the match has been stopped. So they beat each other up until you are hurt. And if you go to the tournament and you see almost all five of them, they have deformed faces because of this. But it's an issue of cultural pride and an issue of this. So all we can do is to seek to regulate, to make it safer, and to make sure that no one dies as a result of this. And so the king has now voluntarily issued a royal edict to say that when one is bleeding, then they stop the fight and stop the bleeding. So the king is already, by his royal edict, modernizing this, but we need a law to regulate all of this, and I think the newcomer sports league will issue general regulations and also establish an inspection that will affect tournament and keep that the rules are properly regulated. Boxing will still be regulated as one of the combat sports teams under the new league, but its current act as a standalone will then follow. Chair, we are also producing a new law. We are asking to regulate now the fitness industry. It has been a self-regulating industry for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're not concerned really about the bigger establishments like the Genesis and the Planet Fitness and all of those. We are more concerned about the small establishments because those establishments, typically hygiene is a big problem. They know that in terms of the occupational health and safety, it says that for every 15 staff members you have, you must have 1 hour, and for every 15 users, 1 shower. But here you find a small room in a township full of equipment, and there is only 1 shower for women and for men. But the people who are subscribing there are looking for three. They must all share one toilet, and they must all share one equipment. And often, the equipment being used is not approved. It's bought off the internet from China and delivered here. The safety of the equipment can be watched for, and equally the sanitation. Then sanitizing the machines currently now is not, there's no legal obligation for them to do so, but before the next user comes, the machine has to be sanitized. So spread of diseases and every other thing, particularly those diseases that are carried in bodily fluids, become the key issue that we are concerned about and that we need to regulate. So we will bring this so that we can stand up the norms and everything for this entire, including a registration council that would register all fitness practitioners. Right now, many people go to gyms and they all do aerobics. There's no aerobics for beginners or for what you just got a gym. There are no health tests that are being made on you to determine how fit you are for that level. Other than that, the so-called private trainers, unqualified as they are and self-declared, do more harm to the human body than good. And we need to make sure that the training is standardized and that only those people certificated are able to be certified by the fitness industry to become fitness instructors and conductors. And from that point of view, the registration council will not only professionalize this industry, but will also protect the future of fitness like that. So those are the new laws we are hoping to bring in addition to the arsenal we have at our disposal right now. Added to this, that we are also looking at the province of Sport Academies League. We are looking at getting the harmonization of the provincial academies and the certificate for referendum and of course the public. Updating our regulations in terms of the National Sport Education Act, the feeding and hosting of international sport education regulations are now being updated, subject to regulations. But the update looks at basically prohibiting federations simply to be self-government as well. Because right now we are in the dilemma of federations that go to the international bodies, and they tend to agree that South Africa has wanted the country to look out for. All of this, maybe members may not be aware. We have students in our country. How many World Cups have been hosted? Or even if you ask a different gentleman, which was the last World Cup we hosted? People are going to say, which gentleman for that. But it's primarily because they don't know that we have held the World Championships of the highest lot, the small sort, many people don't know. They don't know that we have had the UCI Mountain Bike World Championships. They don't know that we hosted the current World Cup. They don't know that we have hosted a whole host of things, including the World Cup of Gymnastics and so on. So, in all of this, the truth is many of these federations do not comply fully with the intended principles of this regulation, that they must seek cabinet approval first. Because once that World Cup is ordered, even if they don't need direct funding from us, but the state is still obligated to provide direct support. Ambulances and hospitals must be activated. Police must be present to safeguard all of the time. No one pays for the deployment of those police and the oversight and every other thing. So the state still needs expenditure directly. And our view is to outlaw any federation from dealing without government approval. We are also bringing funding of sport and recreation bodies regulations. We have changed the funding model as the minister indicated. We should lack good governance. Those federations that are well run and that means they are trying to get more money. This is what the new regulation is to achieve. And those that don't comply will get punished. So I think that's what the 2015 regulations will do in this regard. We will address this regulation in the later part of the year after proper consultation with sport coach. And lastly, the safety and sport and recreation event regulations are being updated as well. You would remember that we had a difficulty with the procedure with which the appeals tribunal must be appointed. And from that point of view, the legal opinion that the government has, the legal advisors have written, has been saying that the minister must run the process of appointment of the tribunal. But the portfolio committee got a legal opinion from the parliament's legal services, and it came saying that actually the process must be run by the portfolio committee. So the new revised regulations would now clarify the procedure, because the Act doesn't say much about that procedure. So we'll now clarify the procedure better and indicate a process needs to be followed. Even when there is a vacancy, because the Act defines, if one of those members of the tribunal is appointed but resigns halfway, what procedure do we do? Currently the regulations don't cover those parts. We will allow you to address that lacuna in the regulation. In respect of the Sport Academies regulations, this will come in 2015. We hope that once the legislation, the bill passes through in the 2015 term, we hope that then by 2016 we will table regulations pertaining to that one. The policy mandate we draw it from on an international basis. We are quite busy, and we have been busy over the last 3 years in the international arena. As you may know, the minister has been the representative of Africa on the World Anti Doping Agency, WADA, and the host of the WADA conference. Currently now, former minister Stofil is our representative, is the vice president of WADA. And you may also know that we are part of CHATIFA, the Association for Sport for All in the World. Now, that association, CHATIFA, is under the auspices of the IOC. We currently chair the CHATIFA Education Committee in Africa. And you also know that we are part of MINES, and we are currently the Secretariat of MINES MAP, which is responsible for physical education as well under UNESCO. And we're also part, we are chairing the UNESCO Sport for Development and Peace, our Deputy Minister, and the United Nations Conference of Assistance on Sport and Recreation we also chair that, and at South Africa, and our program of action has now been approved by the United Nations in general. And here additionally, the NDP as well as the Right Paper for Sport Education and the Flag becomes the key driving mandate. Now,
I request that you finish both the presentation that you find for it so that the community can be able to
reach. These are the intergovernmental relations and the partnerships of different programs. We indicate the department as well as the outcomes of what we are building them on. And I will not go into detail about our partnership there. Now, the NCFF has given us those key areas in which we need to focus, which is the list of contracts with the president has been handled on. The increase of access of South African citizens to play sporting education activities. We are looking at a 5% increase on another basis. And this year we are taking a different time with the human rights contract to look at how many citizens are participating as well. We are also looking at increasing the provision of master education opportunities and advocating transformation of sport integration, but also to support talents that are in providing them opportunities to access and support talents that are in the collection to access information as well. These are the key pillars. And if you look at it, this is some of our core projects for the coming financial year. 2022 Commonwealth Games, transformation in sport, school sport, community sport, and all of those are what is key for us and what will be key for the very the work of the department over the summer financial year. Now let me look at the strategic goals of the our 5-year strategic plan. First and foremost, increasing access to sport and recreation. And as I've indicated, we are looking at an annual increase of 10% in sport and recreation participation of students in the athletic activities. If you look at our technical indicators, scriptures, and so the bigger strategic plan, you will see those designated projects that you achieve. And the sport and recreation sector equity comes from, we're looking at 80% of the recognized national federations meeting their transformation targets by 2019-2020. That is our key target, but the transformation targets will be met by 80% of the sport bodies receiving funding from us. The other key things on the athlete achieving international success to the winning nation. And as you may see, we are also designated multi COVID events, both include the Olympics, the Commonwealth Games, as well as the African Games. And lastly, we also look at the regional games as on the 5 days of the Asian Sports Region 5 for sport. We're also looking at enabling mechanisms for sport and recreation, and this speaks to facilities for confederations, an academy system that is effective, a sports house and a sports information center, as well as promoting a better broadcasting and scholarship regime in the country now. Using sport as a tool for to support SA government and global priorities, we're looking at the increase in perception by pitching that sports is contributing to nation building. This is the yardstick which the president is saying we must utilize. And they have said to us that that will be characterized through an annual study. So we have to see that citizens truly believe that the sport is a tool for nation building. And then lastly is the issue of an efficient and effective organization. We want to be a department the first department to achieve a score of 4 on an impact. Currently, the monitoring of performance and evaluation by the presidency has scores of 1 to 4. There's no 0. It's 1 to 4. The highest score being a 4. A 4 means that you are a perfect department. It means that you implement everything that needs to be implemented. Since the past has been established last financial year, we got a score of 3. We were among only 4 departments that got a score of 3. And there was no department with a score of 4. And many got 2s and some got 1s. So we want to be the first department to achieve a score of 4. And we are committed to retaining the status of a unit and to also make sure that on the deliverables will increase on that. However, Chair, the key thing that I can proceed now to, whilst the message is sorted out, is on the program Active Nation. And here I will go to a bit of the rest of the APP in this regard. Of importance is on the Active Recreation Programs that will be implemented. We have 25 Active Recreation campaigns, national campaigns, in this coming financial year. And we're also looking at a full target of at least 3 million participants. That's what has been set by the presidency for us in the coming financial year. Half of our key programs are the youth camps, which are run across the provinces, and the Move for Health Day that we engage citizens broadly on this, and the Golden Games for older citizens, and the PIWOC, which we are looking at now this year, 2050 work on the same day across the country. And we're also looking at the first National Recreation Day. Cabinet has declared upon our request that the first Friday of October this year is declared National Recreation Day. We don't envisage this will be a public holiday, but in this sense that this would be a day at which all employers, the top 100 companies, will set on this other special exchange and governments, release this employee at least for an hour or so to do this kind of change and to promote recreation in the market. And this we do with a campaign and to highlight the need for recreation.
What
it's the first Friday of October. I think this year it falls on the 4th. Chair, let me now move. We will continue with the National School Sport Championship being our key flagship program. This year we're increasing the coach of the 15 priority coaches, we're increasing the coach to 15. So there will be 15 coaches being placed, all priority coaches. And we're also looking at the number of children this year reaching a 15,000 mark. So at the National Championship. So that's what we're looking at. In terms of winning nation, our regular scientific support services will increase, and we are looking at offering better services and harmonized services provided by provincial academies. We are also looking at the approval of major events that we will look at and the bidding and hosting regulations in this regard. But of importance is the work that we do our recognition and honoring of excellence in sports. This will include the sport award as well as programs such as the Sports Hall of Fame. In sports support, we are looking at a better governance framework for federations. And in the 2015-16 financial year, we will introduce a new code of conduct for athletes across all codes. And we're also looking at supporting 60 bodies with key funding in this regard. But we're also establishing a transformation baseline for 11 codes this year. And we have done 5 last year, so all in all this year we'll table our own staff for transformation around 16 codes. And we are looking at increasing our participation. In sport infrastructure, we're looking at a facilities audit. Chair would remember that we have decided now to reduce the full sale audit to a facilities count. We still remain one of the few countries in the world that doesn't really know how many sport facilities we have. We will seek by the end of this coming financial year to do a full facilities count and to know where they are. A full audit will be done in phases and across all provinces with a view ultimately of the GIS system over the next 5 years to map all facilities. And the audit intention is not just to count facilities but also to look at the state of those facilities and to also determine the maintenance gap of the facilities. I've spoken about some of the core programs and I will not go into detail on them. They are in each chair. You see them program by program across all of this. And you see that compared to the 2010-2011 financial year, our key programs have actually more than doubled now. And yet, it is the same that which can only be testimony that we are now optimizing the use of our resources in this regard. In terms of the overview of the budget, Chair, I would wish to indicate to you that we have a budget of 988 million, just below 900 million, just below a million, and that's the money we have for this coming financial year. And with that money, it would be that more than half of it, 537 million, goes to provinces as a conditional grant. We can't charge that money because I can only set the conditions of the accounting model of what provinces must use the money for and what they can't use it for. And one of the biggest also charges, 7 million, then goes to national federations of the sport bodies that we are supporting, which leaves us really with a legal budget to all those key programs you see in the same one. But if you look in terms of program budgeting, administration takes a total of 138 million, and Active Nation being our core business, takes 699 million, the lion's share of our commitments. And Winning Nation takes 99.8, and you may recall that this is the first financial year in which we achieved this. We're now Recreation and Active Nation takes the bulk, meaning that Master Association for the first time is funded much more than we are funding in English, and which speaks to testimony to the challenge of the spotlight, which we are committed that we would change the structure of the budget and shift the bulk of the resources to Active Nation. Sports support gets 1.5, and that's representative largely by the for the sports federation and sports infrastructure, only 10.9 million. So the money we have to deliver sports facilities to test is just 10.9 million. So it's not a lot of money at all, because in terms of the constitution, the responsibility for sports facilities rests with provinces and municipalities. And the president says that we can only do pilots and do tests whether models can work. And that's what the 10.9 million is. If you look in terms of selected budget items.
The 10.9 million MTA is for the outside of the MTA, is it? But for this financial year, only for infrastructure, for the infrastructure, 9.7.
Yes.
Because 9.7.
9.7. Yes, 9.7. Yes, that's for the current financial year. So in the outside year, it will be 10.9. And in the middle year, it will be 10.8. So now it's 9.7. If you look at selected budget items, so transformation activities and incentives take 107 million for the first time, to be back to the recommendations of the organized persons group on sports transformation. School sport takes 216 million and remains one of the biggest single funded programs by the department. And if you look at community sport, largely the value of that money, as I've indicated, goes to the Rural Sport Improvement Program, 161 million. And elite athletes this year would receive support, direct support from us of 27 million. This 27 must be seen that it is an addition to what we give SASCOP for professional excellence. So we do refund this money from us. And the rationale that we need to set is that government by the Olympic Charter is not supposed to interfere in selection of Team South Africa. And so SASCOP has its own rules about selecting Team South Africa. But in the past, the minister has received a number of appeals from various sport groups. Operation Excellence says that if you are a team sport, you must at least be ranked in the top 8 in the world to receive funding on Operation Excellence. But very few of our national teams are ranked in the top 8. And as a consequence of this, do not receive direct funding support on Operation Excellence from SASCOP, meaning a huge gaping hole for those federations to plan for themselves. So what we attempted to do, when we went to the London Olympics, we asked SASCOP that certain key athletes be funded. Let me give you an example. Rowing South Africa. No single team of rowing has ever seen itself in the top 8. And as a consequence, the rowing team was left out because of the rules of SASCOP, and they were not receiving funding. But when our scientific support unit looked at that team, and we looked at these three previous competitions and the times they have clocked, and we looked at their competitors globally, what times they have clocked, we were convinced that they would get a silver. because their time was second best only after the British. And we saw that potentially for the first time, although South African athletes are not ranked in the top 8, but potentially for the first time, with the right support, they could potentially get the medal. But SASCOC had ruled them out because they are not in the top 8. We then took some of this new funding and transferred it to SASCOC, ring-fenced it to say they can only use it to support this rowing team. They didn't like it. They felt that we were interfering with how they were administering and how the team had changed. But after we had insisted on that in the 2011 financial year, by 2012 London Olympics, even that team surprised all of us. It didn't get a silver or a gold medal. But typically, that medal would not have come had the funding not followed. That's a specific reason. So while we do give and support the athletes that have already made it, like Chuck Leclerc, Cameron van der Berg, Castor Tillman, and others, and that have already made it into the top 8 in the world, when they are supported by that, we also have this special funding to look at those with potential but are not yet there. So, see the 27 million within that context as it is intended to support the second layer of athletes that could potentially give us money. And the National Academies program for the first time, we are taking aside national funding in 26 million a year for players to build the national training center as the minister teaching. So, that's in summary, Chair. So practically, it isn't possible just to apply the equitable share formula on that. So we fought a little bit to the federal ministers and finally they agreed with the wisdom we were proposing that we would take the conditional grant assets, all the available money, but we would have a common baseline across all properties. And that baseline was declared in the 20 million. We said, at a start, everybody must be given 30 million before we do anything. So we take the available money, we give each and every province 20 million, 20 million, and from the remaining amount, we then say, let's do two things. First, let's apply the equitable share and start allocating by population size and contribution of GDP to the rest of the other properties. And then ultimately, we also say, what are those key national programs which HODs of departments and provinces as well as MECs will agree that we must do all of us together. School sport being one of those. Then we ring fence some money across all provinces for school sport. And then we go further to also ring fence some money for things like this and training that must all of us must pay for. And then we put it aside for those national priorities. And then as you look at it, ultimately you end up with that picture. That picture is somewhat a bit fair now. But because the population size of Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal now is neck and neck, you see that the allocation is more or less the same, heading up like those additional key considerations. But this system is much more beneficial to the smaller province. So Northern Cape, Northwest, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Free State, as well as Mpumalanga become the key beneficiaries of but with the remaining amount of money, because ironically, the problem is that generate more GDP than that's a more number of them, that's for that issues. If we were simply to apply the equitable share formula, it will not be fair to the smaller provinces, and they will not squat anywhere else. And that's why we always see, and we see now, I can tell you, since 2012 we have the National School Sports Championship, Gauteng always wins, because at that time they have one straight in a row. And secondly, they are followed by KwaZulu-Natal and thirdly by that just shows you that where there is money, there is a better performance. And so that's what you see by that picture.
So thank you very much. We've come to the end of the presentation. Thank you, Ricky. I'll then allow the members to give you your presentation, especially if you want to be certified. Is there any other issues?
Thank you. See, I've got enough listening for all of us. Chairperson, thank you for the presentation. I'm really worried for your part. So you are keen to the budget. I think it's a very small budget, and then you have that you help each and every sportman in South African sportswoman. How many, my first question is, how many athletes were identified from 2014 National Sports School Championship? And what is the status of establishing the National Sports Hall of Fame? How far has the department gone in engaging the Department of Art and Culture? What will be the cost implications of setting such, and how is the department intending to fund this initiative? What challenges are the provinces facing with regard to doing the facility audit, if there's any? Since there is a challenge with regarding establishing the facility database, when is the department planning to complete the facility plan? And how many municipalities have been engaged with regarding to developing or refurbishing the children's play parks? You also mentioned it at the stage in your presentation. And then, quite a couple of interesting questions for me, Chairperson. I was never aware that there in South Africa is this cage and Dunga fighting this season. So what I want to know is where it takes place and when where is the event and how are they organized these events, because I think that's under this under the carpet, if I'm listening to you. So if you can give us a bit more information about that. And what is the status of, I know we put in a bid for the Olympics in 2021 or 22 in Durban. I'm not quite sure of the information there, but if you can give us more information, I know there are a lot of cities was withdrawn at the end of the day, and it seems to the end of the thing is, it's only us was in the pool. So if you can give us a bit more information regarding that. You talk also about the partnership between you and us in culture, sport and recreation. My question here is, we have a meeting with Arts and Culture, and you, the meeting with you is the previous meeting we had with you, who was invited, or you gave us information regarding flags and poles at schools. And at that stage you said that you are the lead, and I think that the deputy minister who was telling us that. We have a meeting also with Arts and Culture, and they told us that 50% of the flat and poles are provided from their side. So I want to know the relationship between them and at what level of the relationships. Then you talk about a lot of events, and I know there's a lot of events, sport events in South Africa, but us as the committee never get an invitation to get with you and go and sit. I was never in my life in a stadium like the soccer stadium in Johannesburg. And I would like to, I was there with the funeral of our late President Mandela, but when there is a soccer event, I, from my side, and I think also the committee as well, would like to be in such an event to get that feeling, what is going on in the stadium when there is a big match on. So, maybe I'll think in the future to invite us as well. Let's also go with you, and I'm quite sure the department is already. And then how many sport clubs are there in South Africa? If you can give us an indication, I think that is also something we do not know. Then my second last question, Chairperson, is we're talking about support to our international sportmen and women. What kind of support is it? Is it flight tickets alone? Is it the colours or give us an indication, what are you spending on a sportsman or woman if they say international event on and come from the sport department? And my last question is, if you are getting into the budget, really, I can't believe that a province gets 29 million, and that must be, if you're looking into the Northern Cape, I think that is the lowest amount, and they must do anything with 29 million. It's not possible. So is that really the only money you have per province to do everything? Thank you.
One, there tends to be some kind of misalignment when it comes to the department of sports in provinces. Not to say that it's not only provinces where the sports are located, because there's other provinces maybe sports attached to culture. How do you handle that, the misalignment? And then there is an issue of sponsors that do not raise their winnings. Timely, for example, the case of Tosani Ngoyeni, who is still awaiting his winnings. 1 million of his winnings has not been paid out. How are you going to handle that one? The issue of additional games federation, have they been established at the level of provinces? What are you doing, DG, about the problem of unemployed graduates in sport? People that have graduated in sport and they are not employed or they are not in any intention. How are you handling that issue? And also, I don't know if I saw in your budget, speaking about the EPG, the allocation to EPG. And the follow-up in the making in terms of ensuring that they keep demanding for transformation. And also, how are you going to assist the provinces to do the auditors that are here to say to me, your target is that by the end of the financial year, you will have endeavored to audit social security. How are you going to assist the provinces, or are they going to be using the allocation that people have ordered?
quit that time. Policemen will put you on an ECG machine and you will run on treadmill and we will simulate the conditions of the 100 meters and the right speed and the right thing for your age. And we want to see if at that simulator speed you don't make sub 10, then we know that if you are a 15-year-old, you can't make sub 10 at this simulator condition. There's no chance that you will beat the rest in the world. We now know strategically. And the report can tell us that either the oxygenation with which your body is able to do and the lungs releases the oxygen into the bloodstream and the blood then oxygenates the muscles and the muscles move is too slow for you to make the cut. There are many underlying factors. It may be that your nutrition is not so good. It may be that your body is burning the electrolytes much more quicker than you're supposed to, in which we can give you supplements to revive that and to balance. But there are those underlying conditions which can be reversed and reversed. And so when you fail the scientific test, although you have written tonight, but the scientific test fails, you won't make it. In there, we have no choice. We have got to terminate the thing. And that's why from the onset, even when we give a letter to the children and their parents, we indicate that this is subject to you as a test. So we have now taken most of the learners through that process. Majority of them, as you can see, have passed, which confirms the accuracy of the talent itself. But there is this age that has not passed. So we were to cancel that, but the minister in his wisdom has directed that we give them secondary codes, that they must be tested in other codes, whether they can make it there. Because if they can, then we can substitute the codes with which we give them. It's not the same. In church, we don't test your stamina, as an example. But we test your problem solving techniques and things. And we test how quickly does your brain make spot deficient or spot precious. And we do it via different things, puzzles and all of this complex things. And we also look at your framework of thinking in respect of a specific approach. So, and we met you against the program done by FIDE, the International Chess Organization, of the 17 markers of chess. They have looked at their thinking patterns and what makes it common for them to be grandmothers. And they put up some of those things in a computer. And we test that you think like that. If your thinking pattern is not like that, then you are out. So this scientific testing is important because it helps us to invest wisely. We don't have to invest in the dark. And only 20 years later, millions of rounds later, you can deliver a learning to us. So I think we are smarter from that point of view. Obviously, it is painful for a child to tell the child that you are no longer on the program and you now forfeit the ministerial balance. But that's how the program is designed and that's how it works. And there are 55 of them now on that program. In terms of the Hall of Fame, we have spoken with Art and Culture in this regard. There is its own Museum of Natural History. Currently, the three houses on the outside are dilapidated and they are not using them. They have offered that they can give us the three houses for us to renovate and to start the Hall of Fame there. But also, the natural history aspect only occupies one hall of the two hall museum. The other hall, they have like things there and it's not being used in any way. So Hutton Culture is amenable to the idea. We are calling it a sport hall of fame, but in effect it's a sport museum. So the museum act applies to it as much as it applies to any other museum. And in this regard, our discussions with them is around them speaking out part of it is called museum to us and giving us three houses to renovate at our own cost and then to begin an activity with them. This we see as a temporary measure because ultimately the government must find money to build a from our office for eternity. So for now, that would be the key intervention. Now, also familiar and aware about what the kind of sector has done on the sort of thing, the front page. And we are in discussions with them. We are uncomfortable about the idea of national heritage in private hands. We think that national heritage should be in the hands of the public, under custodianship of the government of the public. And if we can't come to terms with them, about the consent that I have over that heritage, then ultimately we will have to go our own thing and just leave them alone. But if they are to be reasonable, they argue now that they are in the money already and they will want for the education. Obviously for us, we are not hostile to the idea of taking compensation to get all the artifacts and every other thing and the source memorabilia in their possession. It's because they received a lot of goodwill. Any of the athletes who passed away and died, people like Lady Jake Mazal and so on, gave some of their belts and some of their own sports memorabilia to these people, like to all them. So they have some of the things we need for this museum. And if we can find each other in terms of cost, then we can pay them off and take over everything and get it done. And we know that we have protected the legacy of the heritage of sport in our country. But if that not be the case, we will have to continue only with what we have. And I think that's where we are with that. We envisage that if we follow the Adam culture route, the budget for this thing on an annual basis will be of a normal museum, that's about 4 million a year. So it will not be anything extraordinary compared to how we envisage. In terms of the audit, what are the provincial challenges? Here, really, the provinces and the municipalities, they are not capacity. I have to say. We have held 4 workshops already for them on the questionnaire that we developed for them to go around looking and seeing and looking at the facilities. We did the nonsense standard document for facilities. Also, when said that in 2013 we developed a grading and classification framework. In terms of this, we grade facilities from grade 1 to grade 7. So there are 7 clusters of facilities. So with the nonsense standard, it helps you understand that. So if you read them, you understand them. When you are looking at the facility and you look at what the homes say, you must be able to determine on your own that this is a grade 3 facility or a grade 1 or a grade 7. So, however, it appears that when now the practitioners, actual civil servant that municipalities who must go out into the communities field by field and keep that home and what they see, the first type of funds we received from the few municipalities, the 2 weeks we ran a dialogue with, it was chaos. We too couldn't make up what they're trying to do. So we were unfocused. Last financial year we worked very closely with KwaZulu-Natal, and we started pushing with them. KwaZulu-Natal went even out of their way. They started even taking pictures of the facilities and every other thing and making that. They produced a big report about the facilities. In KwaZulu-Natal, we know how many facilities are there. But we felt that the need was inconclusive because they didn't do signature dual area. They say that because there is no master plan or childhood development plan, and there is no area where it is designated transport facility on that plan of the tribal lands, then they have not considered those aspects. But I can tell you that if you drive through Wadura, despite it being a tribal land, you're going to find this possibility. People, even if it is police and cows are grazing next door, but people are playing football there. And the chief has long said that land, I'm not allocating it for. It's not written anywhere, but if you go there practically, you're going to find it. So, with KwaZulu-Natal, we still have to do the second part of different rural areas to determine, and why not to engage with the chiefs to say, can you, as much as you cut land for people to graze and to do all of this, can you cut some land for people to play sports, you know, and then the team does that. So that's what we need to do with KwaZulu-Natal. The problem that now we are most complete with the logic is here, obviously, they are done now. We have now begun support to Mpumalanga in Limpopo. And the type of support that we are sending back, that we send our own staff members who were in facilities. And they go and they work with local people and local municipal officials to move around them to do all of this. It's a painstaking, painful, long process. It's not easy. Western Cape took us a full 9 months. So it's not an easy process at all. And it's not cheap. So it's very expensive. Because your officials are out on long and periods, hotels and all sorts of things. It's not cheap at all. I can assure you. If the municipalities could just do it on their own, it would be much, much cheaper. But that's not the case. They are really struggling. And after long 4 workshops in a row, they still can't give us what we want. And that is why we have decided we will now do this thing, basically, for two provinces at a time, and see that you can. Those provinces that think that they can on their own do this thing and succeed, we would welcome their efforts. I don't think we'll stop them if they wait for us to come. But I can assure you that 3 years now in a row, this is an area we have just managed to get, and you will see that even in terms of our last year's ADP, the only one target we didn't achieve last financial year is on this one. This thing has been a bit of a nightmare. And when we started, I think we had an estimation of the target, and we had mapped out and thought out that it would be so easy, and we have great, great reliance on our strategy. The issue of the children's play park, yes, like I've indicated, in truth, we haven't done much around the children's play park. And we have now encouraged all provinces and HECOM and that's what the MINMEC have taken two resolutions already on this issue of recreation and specifically around the rollout of the children's play park. In a small job we call Gannett, in Notre Dame, we have done a model of how we envisage this thing to be. If I knew, I would have shared the pictures of what we have done in Gannett yourselves. But there we have converted them. That's key head of land into a community open center where community life can be all around. And they have a children's play park there, they have an outdoor gym, they have a thing for beach volleyball and a sand pit. They also have a sand pit for children to play, they have a sand pit for the beach football, they have a court, a multi-purpose court that plays at least for coaches, whether it's soccer, basketball, or volleyball, or basketball, or netball, all on one court. And they also have a running jogging track around. They have an area for residents with creeks and all of this. And they also have a water, and they have a thing for cycling around the area. And so on. So we have done a lot in a very small space. And at Kombi, type of setup is what we are interested for all small towns. And so we are now showing progress that this is the model that works, and that's what their municipalities must begin to implement and roll out. The reality is that with the type of resources we have for facilities, we can only do demonstration models of what we work best and pay for them to show that they easy to work. You would recall that when we started with this route, we said the outdoor gyms. Prior to that, all the gyms were rolling out were indoor gyms, but we had so many problems because we take in a small town community hall, the only thing they have, and we buy gym equipment and we put it in that hall. Now all of a sudden, things that the community used to do like karate, judo in that hall are all over because the space is taken over by this gym equipment. And then the municipality gives you to Braso Renso, who is the municipal official caretaker. He's got no clue, he's not a gym instructor, he's nothing. So everybody must stay there without any gym instruction or anything. And his job is just to open and close. And where you find some of them who are responsible, people that arrive to train, he's not there. They go to his house to go check where he is to come open, what say he has not sent home. The people don't exercise that day. You know. So it was a nightmare in the management and process. So we have now decided to move away from indoor gyms and to do outdoor gyms. The fun about the outdoor gyms is that anyone can walk to eat and go exercise anytime. And the machines are standardized and they therefore much more safer, even without supervision. So this is when we began. We started with the one in Jandali, so I'm sure you know the future of your answer. We were told that we must send it off, and we refused to send it off. Because almost all our facilities that we did prior since 1994 to 2011, all of them that we can stop have been paralyzed in the social work. So we left it out and we said there must be community ownership. And since then, we have rolled 64 of those things across many communities. And we have taken them to the areas most affected by social groups. We have now, in El Dorado Hack, after the defeat of the president, we sent a gym there. We were told that the drug lords and drug users are going to show it off and sell it and buy it back. That never happened. And it's not fetched. And here in Manenberg, even in Bishop, we have found the outdoor gym. Not that. In the heartland of Yeah, we bring Mabopane, we have sent another gene, no damage to it. Everywhere else we have sent this thing, it is still spending, and it enjoys high usage, the model that we are growing. And our policy is simple, no fancy. We did one recently in Melody, in Virginia, in the first state, and the counselor said 15 will pass off, and it delayed the opening of the gym by 3 months because we had policy disputes, you know, and we fixed that, no fancy. Even now, that one, they're given in, it's not fenced off. And we think that other than normal maintenance warranty, our facilities are not fenced off. Enjoy the most support and physical work for a see that. Cage fighting, honestly. Okay. Cage fighting, Chair, honestly, this thing, there is legal cage fighting, which is done by MAP, the Martial Arts Association, which is normal, legal, and you can go to Coca-Cola room and buy a ticket and see. The rules are there. And they are there, don't eat under the bell, don't do this and so on. That's fine, so far so good. What we want to outlaw is illegal cage fighting in the basements of buildings and all sorts of things where there are no rules. And often the decision whether the opponent lives or dies is made by the spectators by the show of finger. So that we have found wrong. And there's no way we can agree to such a thing because you read about newspaper articles about bodies being thrown next to rivers and water and so on, and you see that they are loose and they have been fighting, and you see even by their attire that this was an athlete of sorts, but there's no fashion tournament where you see that. So that's the ones we are referring to, which when we say we want to outlaw. With partnership on art and culture on Flex, look, art and culture is a lead partner on this issue. We work with them in our capacity, and that is on promotion of social cohesion. They have a mandate from Caritas to roll out Flex to all South African schools. And we have asked them to extend this money to all sports facilities, but our national strategy and everything fly back. And they have said that we need to pay for that. So that's the aspect which has not related that we pay for. And we also take a lead on the same campaign on Flex, but through the youth camp program. And we work with them closely there. So in essence, it's art and culture that we need. The issue of invitation to committee members, we have always issued invites to committee members. And I can attest to that fact that I am aware that the invite has been issued. But I have to be quickly careful. Our recognized sport bodies, which is what must be understood, are the national federation. So the FA championships and things like that are what we are in charge of. The PFL, as an example, or the CACA, PFL is a private company. It's not FAFA. So yeah, when Bafana Bafana is, we have a great asset, and we can issue invites for you to come because the national team. But when Chief and Pirates play, we have no say, and we don't even get cheated ourselves. If the minister goes, he goes on his own account because he wants to support the sport in general. But of importance is that the decision must be made because we regulate sport bodies, recognize sport bodies, which is ALPA, ASLAM, all of those. Yes, if the Springboks are playing, we'll hear from us. But if the Blue Bulls and the Cheetahs are playing, well, there's little we can do about it. So I think that is the definition I can make, but yes, we will invite members of the community. In terms of support to athletes, look, we are supporting athletes, we call it the full rounded support, which means that even when an athlete is injured, we pay for their mental fees, even outside the confines of competition. And we also give them allowances, which is money for them to live by. We also, during competition, we give them everything from the supplement we need to. So this one is going to be a full round of it because we don't expect an athlete to pay for what is necessary for them to participate. But certainly the athlete says, buy me some fancy clothes, we're not going to buy that. If they need a dress suit or running shoes or whatever, that's what we provide. Even if the quality is the same, it's all Nike. But Nike for wearing on a Sunday, that's not our concern. But if it is Nike for purposes of training a lot, we will provide that. So we give full round support. That's what I can say. With the Europe Sport Code, how many are there? We have 54 recognized sport codes. That doesn't mean that there are only 64 codes. Things like people who drive this dingy cars and all sorts of things, they call it squats, but they are not recognized for those. So naturally, we will speak of only of the 64 codes which we have legally recognized and which we are supporting. So there are 64 plus also 5 recreation bodies that we can fund in last year. So we have started now with recreation bodies, things like mountain climbing. There's no World Cup for mountain climbing. But each time an expedition to South Africa, even recently, members may know that the first African woman to try and ascend Mount Everest went there. He got some support from us, about 12,000, for the expedition team. And they were to ascend, but you know what happened to the earthquakes and everything. The intention was that she would put the South African flag on top of Mount Everest. That's where we draw inspiration next year. So through the Mountain Club of South Africa, we now give them money to promote things like hiking and all of it. That's recreation, but it is not necessarily sport. So we have started to recognize this five recreation bodies. The budget of province is not enough? No, it's not. And because all the money we have for provinces, yes, it is. The treasury is bringing them to this. That is why I explained the formula we follow in this regard. That formula stands for the KPIs in best. Like I said, if we didn't know the formula, the engineer you are complaining about will not have it, they have put it. So in fact, they have more than what they price more than what they were supposed to have. So all I'm saying is that provinces as well as municipalities have a responsibility to budget for sports. Because sport in terms of the constitution is a concurrent budget. So they shouldn't only look at the conditional grant. This is a grant that comes with conditions for specific things. But on a day-to-day basis, each municipality and each province must budget. And last time I was at this committee, Chair, I had indicated that only 3 of the 9 provinces are budgeting of sport programs. 3 of the 9. Even the mighty county, with the biggest budget in the Republic, it doesn't budget for sport programs. They are fully dependent on the 89 million we give them as a conditional grant, which is not correct. Because they must take part of their own equitable share that they receive as a province from there. And if they establish this department, they must fund it. They can't establish a shadow department that is waiting for money from national. They must fund it the same way they fund agriculture, the same way. They are just a conditional grant by the National Department of Agriculture to comprehensively support farmers at local level. But equally, provinces themselves provide their own provincial funding for agriculture. So why is sport different? Why wouldn't they want to budget for sport as well, as much as they get a conditional grant? So that is a battle provinces have got to ensure, and you as representatives of provinces have got to ensure that your legislators ask the right questions to the provincial governments as to why they are not budgeting for sport in food. And I think that is the issue must be there. Chair, the misalignment of departments in provinces, I think the prerogative of the premier, honestly. If they were to say they don't have a sport department, we will fight them. But they tell us that they have a sport department, although there are other responsibilities attached to it. But sport is a concurrent function. The only thing where we refused, and which we had a dispute with the premier of the Northwest, and by which we nearly last year did not transfer any money to the Northwest, was primarily because that premier, not only did he achieve with others, he divided sport and recreation as one portfolio. He took sport and put it with basic education. He took recreation and sent it to agriculture, the public department there, with environment and other things. And we were not comfortable about the idea of sport and recreation with time. We wanted it to be kept together as sport and recreation. Whether he has to meet basic education or any other thing, that is progressive on how we organize it. After long wranglings and every other thing, finally, he has agreed that he will go take to recreation and bring it back and combine it with sports. Which is what we want, and that's what we have been calling for. And on the basis of that understanding, we then gave them their annual transfer in this year. Boxers, Chair, is a big issue. This Boxers regulation says that a promoter who wants a tournament to be held has to pay a deposit to boxing from Africa. The intention of this deposit is to make sure that we protect the interests of the boxer. It's to make sure that after the fight, money held by boxing South Africa to be able to pay the boxer the import. However, those regulations go further to say that unless there is a written agreement between the promoter and the boxer to say that that deposit must not be paid, the promoter will pay the boxer directly. And so, promoters go to boxers. Who does that, by the way, are adults, I must say. In our country, no under 18 years is entitled to receive the license to be a boxer to fight in the on professional basis. They are all under 18 in our country are amateurs. So you have to be 18 and above to be a professional fighter. So these are professionals who have their own management, who have everything, and if their manager advises them to say, sign the agreement with the promoter. In fact, they are waiving their right to be protected by the law and to be protected by the club. And they deliberately do that. And with this Premier Boxing League, you would recall that you're shooting the court for failure to pay the deposit. And the court in Victoria passed a judgment in our favor to say the tournament must not proceed. And in the dead of night, in a court now in Umtata, they went to the High Court there and asked that the judge reverses our decision that we got here. Same night, we were not even informed. We didn't have a chance to file answering affidavit nor anything to what they were saying. That court of equal competence with the court in Pretoria granted the judgment that the fight must go on. Today we have instructed our attorneys to look at that matter and to review it, because if the appeal has to be given on that decision, it should have been given at the higher court, which is the Supreme Court of the Union. But somehow the court of the Finland State has the decision of another community. And so the fight went on. And because the fight, the boxer you are referring to was fighting, he went on to fight many other fights by agreement with this guy, with decree that the deposit must not be paid. So no deposit was ever deposited before boxing survived. And now the 5 years is over, he must get his 5 man of the deal, and he says he doesn't have that. He says now he's reaching to resolve these issues, he will find somewhere to get the money. So I think that is the issue, the protection we give leaders. If the children have raised that right, there isn't much you can do about it.
The need of the change of name. Page 1, you are engaging higher education on this page. Page 1. Can you cross me? And that's not all.
Adam Freeman, my name is Stephanie, but I don't know. Is that the important
part? Yes.
Yeah, it's just the important part. Okay, so correct it. On page 2.
Thank you. Thank you.